Lord, we thank you and we bless you. We love you, Lord. God, there's none like you and there's nothing too hard for you. We thank you for the word of God, Lord. We thank you, it's our roadmap. It's a light unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, dying, and decaying world. Thank you, Lord, that your word teaches us everything. How to love, how to forgive, how to give, how to speak, how to be quiet, where to go, where not to go, how to pray. God, from A to Z, you left nothing for us to figure out but just to be obedient. So God, speak to us now through your word. Let us hear it. Not just information, Lord, give us revelation knowledge that leads to transformed lives. Let us walk out of here with a life that's empowered by the Holy Spirit to be transformed and to glorify God in all that we do and all that we say. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So on the first Sunday, we kind of take a pause from our regular series. We're going through the I Am messages in the Bible. But the first Sunday with Communion Sunday, we try and do a parable, a proverb, a psalm, or a miracle. And so this morning we are talking about a parable. And I say that this parable is about life, true life. So Christ gives us the behind the curtain look at true life. You walk out of here, either you believe it or you don't. Either you trust God or you don't. But this is really incredible what God shares with us this morning. So if you look at, before we get to 13 and 1, Jesus has just talked to them about Jonah because the Pharisees wanted a sign. You know how people want a sign? Show me that God is real. Jesus talked to them about Jonah and said, the only sign you're going to get is Jonah. Compared himself to Jonah. And then let's pick it up at 12:46. Matthew 12 and 46. I'm going to be all over the place this morning, but I guarantee you I'm going somewhere with this. So he picks it up at Matthew 12:46. He's teaching about Jonah. He teaches about the Queen of Sheba. He talks about the evil spirits that are in this evil generation. And then at verse 46, it says, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood outside, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, hey man, hey, you're talking about all this deep stuff, but your mama and your brothers are outside wanting to speak with you. He answered and said unto him, that told him, man, who is my mother and who are my brother? He stretched forth his hands toward his disciples and said, behold, this is my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and my mother. Make a note, he said, this is my true family, those that are doing the will of God. I know it's deep, but it's not complicated. He's saying, don't be distracted by small talk and nonsense, even if it comes from your family. Uh-oh, Pastor, you step. I know. I'm just telling what Christ said. He said, I have to be focused with the things of God. And then he's going to give the parable and show it. It's mid-summer checkup. Jesus is saying, there's a true family of God. Make a note, verse 50. And it's only those that are really living this thing, who's living a submitted, surrendered, committed life to God and the Father. That's the true family. Those are the ones that are living for God and are saved and have evidence of it. It's going to show us in the parable. Verse 13, the same day went Jesus out of the house. Now he leaves the house, sat by the seaside. Verse 2, a great multitude were gathered together unto him. Did I say chapter 13, verse 1? Chapter 13, verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat on the whole So the whole multitude stood on the shore. So there's a bunch of people. He leaves the house. He goes to the sea. Make a note of that. It's going to make sense, even more sense later on. We know that Jesus is in the ship. He's on the water. We know they didn't have microphones and sound systems like we do. So the water would use as an echo so the multitudes can hear what Christ had to say. Verse 3, and he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. That's good stuff. We've already went over this parable, but he talks about the sower sowing seed that went by the wayside, four places of wayside, stony ground, thorny ground, and good ground. We're not going there today. Look at 13:16. It says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. He's saying that we are blessed when we can understand the word of God. Family, as you're praying, pray that God would give you discernment. God would give you understanding so you can understand the word of God. It's when you're blessed. That's where the peace comes from, the joy unspeakable, the peace that passes all understanding because you're able to discern what's going on. Verse 17, for verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. So I guess this solves the argument, who had it better, the Old Testament saints who went by the cloud by day and the fire by night, or us? Says we have it better. They would have loved to see the things. They would have loved to have the word. They would have loved to be able to read and see how this whole thing ends. They didn't know. They're just following the cloud and following fire. We have the word. We see how this whole thing ends. They would have loved that. We have an advantage. Now, whether we use our advantage, that's up to us. Pray for discernment, that God would allow you to see, God would allow you to hear, to understand the word of God, to understand the mysteries of God, the secrets of God. So he said, we're blessed because we can hear and we can understand. Then he goes and gets to where we're trying to go this morning. Go to verse 24. Verse 24, another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Underline, the man sowed good seed in the field. Make a note that God is good. Despite all the things that go on, God is good. God has sowed good seed. Well, Pastor, why do bad things happen? Well, I'll tell you. I'm glad you asked. Because God has sowed good seed, but because of our flesh, because of Satan, because of our free will, we do stupid stuff, we do evil stuff, and we get caught up. But God has sowed good seed. God did not create evil. We chose through free will to be evil and to do our own thing. But God has sowed good soil, good seed into the soil. And then look what happens. Verse 25. While men slept, and that word men in the Greek is generic for men and women, and that word slept means was distracted by laziness and sin. God sowed something good, and then here we are, we're sleeping, and we're caught up in laziness, distractions, and sin, and then the enemy comes in. I got a bunch of read this, Kathy. I don't want y'all to miss none of this. But while men slept, at first I was going hard on the men until I read in the Greek that it was generic for men and women. So we all was sleeping. But men, you know how we slept, acting crazy, leaving our families, and look, the enemy comes in. As a man, I'll tell you, going 99% of the problems is because men are sleeping on the job. In our homes, in our communities, in our schools, with our kids. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Tares, they look just like wheat, but they're fake, false wheat. They're lies. So here we are, We're sleeping. We're distracted by laziness and sin. That's what it means in the Greek, slept. Distracted by laziness and sin, and then here comes the enemy to plant a bunch of lies right next to the truth. So here's the first, read this. Family, if you and I aren't discerning and doubting to God, we don't know if Satan has put counterfeit in the middle of our blessing. The real blessing and the fake blessing look the same. One is sent from God and one is sent from Satan. And we won't recognize it because we're being lazy when it comes to the things of God. So here we go. This is what we're daily praying and fasting, meditating on God's word, reading our daily Proverbs, not as a ritual, but because I have to make some major decisions in my life regarding my family, my future, and I don't want Satan to mix in counterfeit the fake with the real blessing, and I can't tell the difference because I'm being lazy concerning the things of God. Family, your time with God can be 5 to 10 minutes each morning. And if you can't give God 5 to 10 minutes each morning, then you are being lazy. And you're setting yourself up for a major deception. And if you're practicing sin, then you're already setting yourself up for a major deception. You're in the middle of it. Because the enemy has you right where he wants you. Then you're feeling guilty, you're lazy, you're practicing sin. You won't be able to discern the word of God, the voice of God, if you keep continuing to live like that. And the enemy throws in the fake right there. You don't even know the difference. You won't know if things are people in your life. Underline, you won't know if things are people in your life is planted by God or planted by Satan. Make a note, people come into your life to push you closer to God or pull you further away from God. Either it's sent by God or it's sent by Satan. Then I have this thing. It says, look back over your life and think about key events and key people in your life. And we weren't able to discern who sent them because we caught up in all other kind of stuff. And they look just like the real thing. Somebody's coming in your life right now. And you don't have any clue. You're not doubting the God. And then there's a time we talked about in the men's meeting this morning, we talked about it. Then there's times we just want to do the wrong thing. I know this is from Satan, but you know what? I'm going to do my own thing. I know this ain't God, but I'm going to do my own thing. We proceed to partake. That's just straight up disobedience. The parable speaks of those who are distracted. They can't even see the fake deception that Satan has placed in their life. I tell you how it sounds, okay? It sounds like this. Hey, you know that on my job, you know, Brother Stanley, man, the secretary, man, she really gets me. You know, and she just, man, we really click. Sent by Satan. Yep. And I say, Sister Caraway, you know, the boss, you know, he really listens. My husband never listens to me, but the boss listens to everything. He spends time with me. Shucks. Sent by Satan. Looks good. Oh, this is such a blessing. I'm so blessed to be working. And for youth, where my youth at? My youngsters, hey, where they at? Let me follow the guy, J.L. Darius. Hey, you know, they say things like, you know, your parents are tripping too, huh? Shante, what's up, my brother? Hey, your parents are tripping too. You know, man, we should just shake the spot. We should just run away together. You know, you're high right now, they're tripping. Yeah, let's go roll, me and you. We're going to be sent by Satan. Sounds good. Sounds like the truth. Yeah, you know, they are tripping. You know, it is time for me to get out of here. You know, I'm only 16, but I'm grown. And it sounds like that. Then our kids go off to college. Oh, meet some new friends. Oh, they talk about how they go to church. Didn't say they were saved, but they go to church. Real close. Looks real. Oh, I got some really good friends. And then here come the drugs and the alcohol and the sex. get so far gone they couldn't even discern that Satan has mixed in a lie with the truth. And we're paying thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars, so our children can get a great degree in ignorance. Because they can't discern the lie from the truth. Family, if we don't spend time in the Word, we're lost. We're not going to make it. He said, Jesus gives us the key to life. This parable right here, as I'm studying it, God said, this is the key to life. Watch how much, okay, I'm going to finish this thing up. I promise you I will. It is so deep. People looking for signs, and what is life about? And then God gives it to us right in this parable. I'm telling you, watch when he breaks it down. Verse 26, but when the blade or the wheat was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So it's bringing forth fruit. You can't distinguish if it's real fruit or rotten fruit. Right next to each other, looking alike. You can't tell the difference. Says the lie looks like the truth. That's why we have so many false religions out there, because the lie looks like the truth. If we're not dialed into Christ, we can't discern the difference. And we found out later in life what we thought was the truth was a huge lie, and our life has taken a turn for the worse. The real fruit in your life will be surrounded by rotten fruit. You got to look hard. Is it real or is it rotten? They both look alike. You got to ask God. You got to spend time with God to know. That's why the enemy prevents you. Once you're too tired, don't read that. You're not going to be able to understand it. Don't go to Bible study. He doesn't want you to understand it, so you can never distinguish what's real and what's rotten. Verse 27. So the servants of the house holder came and said to them, sir, we thought you sowed good seed in the field. Where do the tares come from? He said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? Should we go and get the fake out of the real? Because we can't distinguish. And it's difficult. Verse 29, he says, no. Says, otherwise, when you pull up the bad, you're going to pull up the good, too. So you got to be careful when you go out preaching the gospel, and you can't just recklessly just train. I'm going to just snatch her up. No, you don't need to snatch your kids up. You're gonna pull up the good. You're gonna damage the good with the other stuff. You can't do it like that. You just can't give your wife a piece of your mind. You keep giving her a piece of your mind. Pretty soon, your mind's gone because you've given it all away. So you just can't go in recklessly, even if you see the good with the bad. It's a way that you go in. It's you have to be discerning with that. But here's the tough part. Because the servants of God are able to see, man, there's something wrong right there. It looks like it's real, but look at the fake that's in there. You can't see it because you're not discerning enough, but the servants of God can see it. And so here's the hard part, because then we have to approach family. That's why I say you just can't snatch them up, but we have to be discerning. We go and the conversation goes something like this. The servants of God are preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to our family and our friends. And we're saying things like, that looks like a blessing, but as I look closely and prayed about it, I'm not sure if it was sent from God. I know he's saying all the right things and she's saying all the right things, but as I look closely and I prayed about it, I just don't know, Brother Jerry, if that was actually sent from God. And then we have to be tough because then Then we're labeled. Oh, man, you're just a prophet of doom. You don't never have any good news. You don't want me to have you don't want me to have any fun. Oh, you're talking all that hate speech. You're a bigot. You're narrow-minded. You're a hater. You're a killjoy. You're squashing my dreams. You're squashing my ambition. You're just old-fashioned. You don't know anything. You're a Bible thumper. You're a weirdo. You're a Jesus freak. No, I'm trying to tell you, I've looked closely, and it's a tear. It's a fake piece of wheat right in the middle of the real wheat, and you got to see that. Kids, it's our youth, and those of you that are not so, that are young and not so whatever. Parents know what they're talking about. We can see it. We can discern it. Husbands, your wives know what they're talking about. They can see it. They can discern it. I don't know if we know what we're talking about, so I can't say that. I know the wives do. I don't know about us. Every now and then, ladies, we get it right. Receive it. But when you're sharing the gospel with someone, don't rip their heart out. Don't just tear them up. You doing this and you don't be a little more graceful. Be a little more loving like God was with us. I love verse 30. Whew, God is something else. God says, let them grow together. He's not going to take you out of the situation. You better discern that thing. He said, I'm going to let it grow with you. See, some things we got to go through, and then other things we got to grow through. Let me say it again. He's not going to take you out. He's got to grow with you. You better discern that. You better start praying now that you can discern that thing. Because you're going to have to go back to work. You are going off to college. You're going to have to go back to school. You're going to be back at the gym. You're going to be back at the grocery store. You're going to see your family again. You got to visit your family. Some things you got to go through. Some things you got to grow through. There's no way around it. So here's a revelation. Oh, let me finish. Let both grow together until the harvest. And the harvest is the harvest when, now he's shifted, he's talking about people. Let them both grow together. And then God's going to come and harvest his people. And in the time, underline the time of the harvest, it's a time thing. It's God's timing. Let it grow until God says time is up. Family, and we have to be discerning every step, every tick on that clock. We have to be discerning, is this from God or is this from Satan? Because God has the blessing, Satan sending the counterfeit, and they look just alike. Go through your life thinking you're serving God and you're serving Satan. Because they look just alike and you haven't been discerning enough. You haven't spent time in his word to decipher what's real and what's make-believe. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say unto the reapers, gather. Underline that word gather because it's different from the other word gather. That's capital. The other one is not capital. That comes later. Say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares. Let's get rid of them first. Let's get rid of the fake first. Bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather. The first gather means to gather to take away. The second gather, but gather the wheat into my barns. Gather to bring in. One is going to be gathered to take away and be burned. The other one is going to be gathered to take away and be brought in. So there's going to be a separation. God's going to make the separation. There will be a separation. Remember, God, Jesus started off, he's saying, who's my mother and my brother? It's going to be a separation. You're going to see who's real and who's not. It's going to be a separation. We're all not going to the same place. Two words here. You got burn and you got barn. Only thing's different is the U and the A. Will you, A, accept Christ? That's it. You got burn, B-U-R-N, you just switch to A and it's B-A-R-N. The only thing separating the two is a U and an A. The U is you and the A is will you accept Christ today? That's the only thing separating them. Whether you're going to be burned or you're going to be in paradise in the barn with God. Barn metaphorically speaks of heaven. And you have to be committed. You have to be surrendered. Remember, Jesus' own family says, look, they're not committed to me. You guys are my family, the ones that are committed to me. He said, there will be a separation. All right, pastor, finish this up. Okay, I will. Let's go to verse 35. This is the first closing. Jesus is talking about the parables. Verse 35, it says, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. This was already written in the book of Psalms, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Are you kidding? Jesus is saying, I'm telling you stuff that we haven't told anybody since the world began. I'm letting you in on the secret of life. It's going to be a separation. Somebody's going to burn. Somebody's going to the barn. I haven't revealed this to anyone, but I'm revealing it to you. Verse 36, I love this. Then Jesus sent the multitude away because everybody can't go. Remember, he was on the water. Look where he goes. And he went into the house. He's going back to the house. You have to have private time with Jesus in your house. Get away from the multitude. Get away from work and the gym and social media and all that other stupid stuff. And you got to have some quiet time with Jesus in your house. Amen. Sent them away. And look what happens when you get that quiet time with God. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Get away with God and say, God, show me if this is real or make-believe. Show me if this person is sent by you or if they're sent by Satan. Show me if, should I take this job? Is it sent by you or is it sent by, it all looks so good. Get away with God and get some answers. Get some discernment. Get some understanding. And if you don't, you're going to be confused. And you're going to waste a lot of time with something that you thought was real, but it's really fake. I got some, let me read some of this, and then we're getting ready to break this thing down. Let's see. Okay, we got gather. Jesus reveals secrets that's never been told. The key, the secrets of life. Shake the crowd and get some quiet time with Jesus. Only some things you're going to get through the private, quiet time. Oh, man, let's keep this thing going. All right, y'all ready? I'm still closing out, okay? Don't worry, I'm still closing out. We're going to take communion and get out of here in just a minute or two or three. But you can't miss this. This is the best part. Verse 37, they said, tell us what's really going on. Verse 37, he said, and look, it's no secret. God is plain, family. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. He's breaking it all the way down. And whether you believe in Christ or not, this is the word of God right here. And you got to decide what you're going to do with it. People, I want to know what life is about. I'm telling you, this parable tells us everything we need to know what life is about. How it's going to start and how it's going to end. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. Break it down, Jesus. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Pause right there. Don't you let nobody tell you that love is love and we're all children of God. He said, no, hold up. The fake, with this fake gospel, with this fake stuff, that's the children of Satan. Right here is the children of God. Remember, he started off saying, who's my mother, who's my brother, who's my sister? He said, family is, I don't care what you say about family, those that do the will of God, that's my family. Jesus made the distinction right off. Now he's telling you, the field is the world where we live in. And you got the family of Satan that looks just like the family of God, and you got the family of God right here. And if you're not discerning, you're serving Satan your whole life, thinking it's the family of God. Tell me the secret of life right here. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me, Jesus? The children of God, and there are children. There are children of God, and there are children of the devil. You can read John chapter 8. He makes the distinction as well. Pause. Okay, I will pause. Yes, we were all created by God. That's what we can say. We're all created by God, but we're not all children of God. Jesus made it clear too, and he's making it even more plain right here. Here's the revelation. God has children on this earth, and Satan has children on this earth. You want to know something? They sound alike, they look alike, they act alike. Oh, love is not love, and we're not all children of God. There are those that look like they are all about love, but they're really planted by Satan to deceive you and I and have us go to hell with them. Without the discernment of the Holy Spirit, you can't tell them apart. Let me say that again. Without the discernment of the Holy Spirit, you can't tell them apart. They are inside and outside of the church. The church is not excluded from this. They are inside and outside of the church. They are everywhere and in every place. Your job, the gym, school, grocery store, media, social media. If it's on the internet, it has to be true, right? TV, movies, radio, music. They will mention God, but they're not of God. I'd like to thank God for this. And are you serious? They said God. Are you serious? They're tares right in the midst of the wheat. This is what makes social media and all the other media so dangerous, because our children and our youth and some of our adults are not fluent in the word of God, and they can't discern the wheat from the tares. Our kids think we're being tough. Get off that phone, because it's the enemy. You can't discern. Oh, it's really good. It's not that you don't understand. You can't discern the wheat from the tares. We've been around the block a few times. Okay, more than a few times. And we can tell you that's nothing good. Well, I used to think, even when I was a teenager, 18, and before I went off to college, my dad and mom still made me be in the house before it got dark. Because my dad knew, man, ain't nothing good happening outside in this neighborhood after dark. In inner city LA, ain't nothing going on. In the suburbs after dark, ain't nothing good going on after dark. They were able to discern, son, you don't need to be, and you better be in before it gets dark. Got my last whooping at 17, thought I was cool coming home. How about I just roll, okay? Coming in after dark, got my butt tore up, 17. How about I just roll? Well, no, son, not living here. Parents are able to discern. Youngsters, just understand, we can just see a few things. And then those of us that are really in this word, well, we see a lot. And you can say, Dad, but he goes to church and he looks good and he looks in it, just that. But just pause on that. Let us discern a little bit. Forget what it looks like. Let us discern now. Let us pray about this. Let us go to God about this. And then let us come back and talk about it. Because they grow together. They grow together. We're not going to get rid of it. They grow together, and their job is to deceive you and I. And the end game, not the Avengers' end game, but Satan's end game, is to take us to hell with the ones that are sent by Satan to deceive us. Make a note. There's a method and a strategy to all this madness going on all around us. And here God gives us the insight to the meaning of life. Where are we at? Verse 39. The enemy that sold them is the devil. Oh, my gosh. God makes it plain. The enemy that sold them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. Jesus is making it plain. Therefore, the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. So shall it be in the end of this world. So all the fakes, all those that pretended to love God, who pretended that they were connected to God, they're going to be gathered together, they're going to be sent out, they're going to be burned in the fire. There is a heaven, there is a hell. This is what the Bible's teaching. So either we're going to be harvested one day. There will be a harvest. And if we die before the Lord comes back and all this happens, then we're going to be harvested. You've been born, you've been planted here to be harvested at some point. When you die, it's the harvest. It's your harvest. And you go on somewhere. As therefore the tares are gathered in verse 40 and burned in the fire, so shall it be the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all the things that offend and them which practice sin and wickedness. There will be a separation. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So, there is hell and it's not pleasant. And I remember I was ministering to my homeboys one time. Oh, man, I'm going to be in there. I'm going to be running stuff. The homies going to be there. We're going to be partying. It ain't going to be like I'm a punk in there. But the scripture says it's going to be weeping and you're going to be crying and you're going to be gritting your teeth. I was studying this. I wondered if you didn't, if you don't have any teeth when you, do you get teeth again? Anyway, so I was just thinking, what if I ain't got no teeth? I'm be gumming, huh? Well, I ain't trying to go to find out, all right? But look, there is a hell and it will not be pleasant. You will not rule in hell. You will be crying and gritting and squeezing your teeth because it's hot, dirty, nasty, stinking, uncomfortable, unpleasant, and it's awful. You will not be having fun with your homies and your friends. You will not run into a burning building and start dancing and partying. I've never seen anybody, if a house is on fire, they go run in and start partying and turn on the music. I've never seen that. But see, that's how the idiots think. And they're tares and they're sent by Satan to make you think, well, maybe nothing. Maybe I will come back as a dog or a cat. Maybe this will. Maybe it's not going to happen. And it sounds good. It might be a little bit of truth mixed with the fake, but it's still a lie. You're going to be there. You're going to be trying to get out, but there's no escape. You got to be there forever. Then verse 43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. And the only thing that makes us righteous is because we've been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not because we study every morning or because we come. That has nothing to do with it. We couldn't work our way into heaven. It's a free gift through God. We just accept it. And then we commit, surrender our lives to Christ. And then the evidence are the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit don't save you. They're just evidence that you are saved. We couldn't work our way into salvation. You couldn't do the right things. You couldn't help enough old ladies across the street. You couldn't to be where God would say, oh, you just, But then you could never be so bad where God could say, I couldn't use you. It's a free gift. You got to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Look what Jesus said. Let's finish this, verse 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. But look what he says right there. Who has ears to hear? Let him hear. Jesus said, you better understand what I'm telling you. It's a heaven and a hell, and it's no joke. Satan has mixed in the fake with the real, and we better be discerning. Stop getting caught up in stupid stuff, because there is an end game to this. Jesus takes off the covers and let us see what this whole world is about. Everything else is just a distraction, and we're trying to navigate through what's God and what's sent by Satan, because we know that we're going to be harvested at the end. We're going to be cast into the fire, or we're going to paradise, and that's it. Let me read this last two, and then we're going to take communion, and then we're out of here. Ooh, look what God says. Who has ears to hear this morning? With everything going on in the world today, let you and I hear what God is saying. No need to be upset with man or with woman or the president. Your boss, a politician, an employee, a teacher, a pastor, they could have been planted by Satan to keep you distracted from the truth. Don't get your eyes off of people and start looking at God. And then surrender to God with your whole heart. What a day to take communion. What a day to have a middle of the year checkup. What a day to put our life back in biblical perspective. Let's thank God right now. Let us prepare for communion. And all I can say is we take communion because Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And we take communion because Jesus knew there would be wars and rumors of wars. Earthquakes. Marriage, divorce, birth, death, sickness, health, pink slips and promotions, success and failure. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. Brothers, go on and pass out the sacraments. If you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, even if you're visiting, yes, please take communion. You don't have to be a member of this church to take communion with us, because it's the Lord's Supper. It's not South Bay Abundant Life's church supper. If you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, go ahead and take communion. If you haven't, then you shouldn't take communion. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Because life gets hectic. There's a lot that goes on. He left this so we can keep our life in biblical perspective. America just had a birthday. I think it was 240 something years. Christ resurrected 2019 years ago and said, take communion. We've been taking communion for 2019 years. Be careful who you listen to. Said, do this in remembrance of me long before the country of America was thought of. Keep your life in biblical perspective. On the night in which he was betrayed, he gave thanks. Think about it. He was being betrayed, knew he was going to be betrayed, and he gave thanks. God says, if you can't forgive others, don't expect me to forgive you. Jesus said seven things when he was on the cross. Seven things. The first thing he said was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Bleeding, dying on the cross. And he prayed for our ignorance and those that had crucified him. Because our sins nailed him to that cross. He died for us as well. He knew there would be a day when we would want to get reconnected to God. He died on the cross to be that bridge for us to reconnect to God. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he said, God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So as we're taking communion, whoever that is that needs to forgive someone, forgive them. If God could forgive us, you can't be that arrogant and prideful saying, I can't forgive someone. Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. Well, I know what we did to Christ. I know what my sins did to Christ. And he forgave me for all my sins. I have to forgive. That's why I said, do this in remembrance of me. Don't ever forget. It took a physical. He had to pay a physical price for us to be free. Then he had to shed his blood for our sins to be covered. Elevate that which represents his body. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross, resurrecting on that third day for our sins, past, present, and future. We don't have to work to be saved, but because we are saved, there should be evidence of a changed, transformed life. God, you just gave us one of the biggest, if not the biggest, secret of the scriptures that you had hidden since the foundation of the world. And you told us, man, this whole thing is about Satan disguised as something true, trying to distract you to be bundled and tied up and bound up and then die and be harvested and go to hell. Said, but I've come to give you life and that more abundantly. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for us. Come into our heart and live. We accept you as our Lord and Savior. We admit that we're messed up and we need a Savior. We can't rescue ourselves. Forgive us now, Lord. Your word says if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You loved us that much because you planted good seed. You planted good. God, help us not be distracted. Go on and eat that which represents his body. Then elevate that which represents his blood. In the book of Leviticus, it says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Something had to die in order for us to live. So thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood. Cleanse us. A lamb, sacrificial lamb offering once and for all. That we have to receive. We have to receive your death and burial and resurrection. We have to commit to your life. Our life has to be hid in Christ. It's not looking for perfection. God is looking for loyalty. Who's committed and surrendered to him. As we go through our daily struggles, because they still come. Thank you for dying for our sins, Lord. We love you. We bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go on and drink that which represents his blood. If you would, just stand to your feet. As we prepare to close, and if you would just lift your hands. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. Cover and keep us until the next time we meet. We decree and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And we love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hug somebody and you are dismissed.